Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to the Super View Show's Mixed Bag, coming to you live once again from many caves. As always, I am joined by the star-filled panel of panelists right here at the Super View Show's Mixed Bag. Bill, Justin, and Allie are here. How are everyone doing tonight? Bill, I think your mic is off.
There Bill, I think you just did the same thing I did.
It's okay. We're off to a great start.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yes. Sorry, Bill. Technical difficulties from the get-go. It's okay. So anyways, I digress. Not yet, buddy. Not yet. You're not there. Sorry, bud. Oh, yeah. Hold on. There you go.
Yeah. At least he's quiet.
Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. We're almost there. Sorry.
False start. Can you all hear me now?
Yes.
Dang it.
Okay. Allie. Anyways, Bill, Justin, Allie here, and we have a fantastic show for you lined up tonight. What is our topic again, Bill? I forget.
Okay, well, I was the one who reminded JT of this.
That's correct.
I was the one who reminded JT of this. Today is the 90th birthday of the king of rock and roll, Mr. Elvis Aaron Presley.
Yes, RIP, but today's his birthday.
Today he would have been 90 years old.
Wow.
So as we celebrate the king's birthday, we are counting down our top five Elvis Presley songs.
Yes. Oh, this isn't Elvis Costello. I'm out of here.
Boo, Justin's out. No. But in all seriousness, today we record our show on Wednesdays. January 8th marks the 90th, what would have been the 90th birthday of Elvis Presley, had he not died in 1977. But we are celebrating the man tonight by not only by discussing our top five Elvis Presley songs right here tonight. So we got a great show for you lined up, and we're just gonna start by going from five to one, and we're gonna go share a little bit of details.
Does anyone have honorable mentions before?
I have one.
Okay, all right. So let's get honorable mentions out of the way right now. So Bill, what do you got for your? And then we'll go to Justin. Bill, your honorable mention for this?
Oh, we lost his voice again.
Uh oh, hold on one sec. Here we go.
It's not even muted this time.
Give it a sec. Let's jump over to, hold on. It's okay, everyone. Just bear with us.
All right. Time to start playing the Jeopardy music.
Guys, it's okay.
We'll get it.
We'll get it in a second. Anyways, I digress.
Bill, try it again.
It says it.
Bill, unmute yourself because you're muted now.
There we go.
Okay, can you all hear me now?
Yes.
Yes,
we can hear you.
Don't touch anything else. You're good.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay. My four honorable mentions.
Okay.
You know what? Get back to me, please.
All right, Justin, take it away.
So I only have one, and that is a little less conversation. And the only reason why I have it here is because of the Junkie XL version.
Oh, really? That remix version that came out a couple years ago?
Oh my God, it's excellent. But you can't exactly consider it Elvis.
No.
It's a remix. Like, yeah. Everything that makes it stand out is from Junkie XL. And for those of you who don't know, Junkie XL is actually Tom Holdenberg, the film composer.
Oh, I did not know that. The more you know, kids, the more you know. This has been The More You Know with Justin.
Okay, now my four honorable mentions.
Go for it, bud.
Okay, mine is Trouble.
Ooh, great one.
I love the I love the how Elvis tries to be intimidating, but he really isn't it. He really isn't. But I still like the rhythm of the song. I still like the beat. I like Heartbreak Hotel.
Great song. Great one. Yep.
And You Get So Lonely, You Can Die. And these other two are covers. One is of the gospel hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Ooh, okay.
There is just such an inspiration when you hear this song. And you just hear that gospel type when he's singing, that Southern gospel type, which is just wow.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is only the second best version of the song, Always On My Mind.
I like that one.
The song is absolutely great. And just the emotion he sings it with is priceless. But that's only the second best version of the song. The first version is Willie Nelson.
I thought you were going to say Pet Shop Boys.
Getting crazy over here.
So those are my honorable mentions.
Awesome. Thank you, bud. Allie, do you have any honorable mentions for Elvis or no?
I have a couple, and I feel like people are going to be pissed off at me with one of them. So definitely Suspicious Minds for me is an honorable mention. I've also had, honestly, probably one of his other storytelling ones, kind of underrated, In the Ghetto.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a great song.
Like, I kind of feel like, I love some of the storytelling Elvis can do with, and I wish he did some more storytelling songs like that.
Yep.
And the one that people are going to get upset with me about is Can't Help Falling in Love. Yes. It is on my honorable mention list. I kind of feel like it's one of those overrated love songs.
Okay.
That's probably why it's on honorable mention, not in my top five. And I'm also not into like slowy, lovey-dovey music, but we know that Elvis was the one that made that song.
Yeah. No, he did. It was definitely one of his, I would say it's a top three Elvis track in general. You know what I mean? That's just me personally. That's just me. I digress. I have no honorable mentions. So are we ready to go into our top five, ladies and gents?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it.
Wherever Justin is.
Justin said he'll be back in a second. He had to use
the mirror.
There he is. So, anyways, I digress. All right, who's going? You want me to go first for top five?
Sure.
All right, how are we going to do this?
We'll go me, Allie, Bill, Justin. Is that okay?
Wait, are we going to do all the five in one shot? We go number five, number five, number four, number four.
Yes.
Yes, five, four, five. All at once, four all at once, three.
Okay.
And all right.
All right. Let's go.
Let's do it, shall we? All right. So my number five. So this is a hard. This is. It's not easy if you understand Elvis as well as I do, but man. So my number five Elvis Presley song. Believe it or not, is actually. You're going to think I'm crazy. It's actually The Wonder of You. I forgot about that. I'm looking at my list for a sec. The Wonder of You is one of those 70s Elvis tracks. It was big in like 1971, 72, after his 68 comeback special. So he was just off the heels of Suspicious Minds. He was coming back. And then he releases this track called The Wonder of You. And my God, if I had to pick a favorite era of Elvis's career, I'd have to say the 70s. This is one of the highlights for me personally. I love everything about this song, the strings, the orchestration, the way he brought it to the stage at the time. It was unreal, and it still is a fantastic track. So that's my number five is The Wonder of You. And if you've never heard The Wonder of You, stop listening to us and listen to that track right now. It's amazing. All right.
No, we just lost all our viewers. What have you done?
I haven't done anything.
Thanks, JT.
Sorry, guys.
You fool.
That's one of his best albums.
Fool. We just lost everyone. Well done, JT.
Don't worry, guys. We're doing great.
We have negative viewers now. Negative.
No, we don't. Anyways, let's get to it, Sherry. So, Allie, what is your number five favorite Elvis Presley song?
Okay, so my number five is a little less conversation.
Ooh,
and a little bit more of action.
Yes.
Like, kind of like, I'm just reading this off. Yes, Wikipedia is bad, people. But mainly this was originally performed in the film Live a Little, Love a Little. And again, as Justin mentioned, with Junkie XL with the remix.
Mm.
This is surprisingly was a minor hit in the United States. Which is weird. But I kind of feel like I love the underrated stuff. Oh, this was in Lilo and Stitch as well?
Yeah, this Lilo and Stitch did a lot of Elvis stuff with it.
A lot of Elvis.
Surprisingly, actually.
Well, Elvis was big in Hawaii.
And actually, the movie he was in, he sang it. Live a Little, Something a Little. That, I think that was towards the end of the Elvis Hollywood era, too. Before Vegas residency, correct me if I'm wrong?
Yes. Aloha was first, and then the Vegas residency came about, yep. So, there's that. All right. So, that's your number five, right? Was what'd you say? I'm sorry.
A little less conversation.
Thank you. All right. Bill Murphy.
All right. My number five is Suspicious Minds.
Ooh.
I really like the words of the song, and it sounds like a fun song, but at the same time, Elvis is sort of being tortured once you think about it.
Mm.
It's a breakup song once you think about it. Am I right, fellas?
You can make that argument.
Because we can't go on together. We're suspicious minds.
Suspicious minds. Don't sue us.
And by the way, that's for my mom. That's actually her favorite Elvis song.
That's a great song.
I like the song because it's about, you know, it's a fun, upbeat song, but at the same time, Elvis is singing about something unpleasant, like how he can't go on with this girl.
Yeah. Great track. And if you listen to the live, I just want to chime in for a second. If you listen to any live recordings from the 70s of that song, that live version kicks ass. Okay. Just want to say that. Anyways, and just great song. I agree with you. Justin, are you good, bud? Are you good, Bill?
Yeah, I'm good. Next.
All right, Justin, number five.
All right, so number five for me, it's probably my oldest favorite Elvis song, and that is Blue Suede Shoes.
Ooh, great song.
What can I say that hasn't been said before? It's probably it's up there with Hound Dog and Jailhouse Rock. It's like the quintessential Elvis songs. Yes. Like when you think of a stereotypical guy doing an Elvis impersonation, they're probably doing this song. Or maybe Burn in Love. Mm-hmm. But whenever Charlie Kaufman would do his Elvis impersonation, this would be the song that he would do it to. And if you ever seen Man on the Moon or his interviews with his stand-up on David Letterman, it's actually a very good impression after he's doing basically his Latka voice, his Latka character for two straight impressions, and then he goes on to do the Elvis Presley, transforms into Elvis and kills it.
Hmm.
It's probably the song that I listen to the most by Elvis, and also it's not that hard to play on the guitar. I'll just say that.
Really, it isn't.
Which only a few chords.
Well, Blue Suede Shoes, right?
Yeah, Blue Suede Shoes.
Like two or three chords, probably D, C, G. If you know your guitar chords, go for you. But yeah, so. Yeah, that's a fantastic song overall. Just one of the earlier Elvis songs that just kicks ass to this day. And you put it on, people still dance.
Yep.
So, look at my blue suede shoes.
Fun fact, did you know actually his real life blue suede shoes that he actually wore sold at auction recently for like $135,000?
I think I heard that. Yeah.
His that real, low?
I know. Hard to believe it was that low. But someone actually bought them for like the shoes he wore in the... it's ridiculous. But yeah, so I'm a little sick. Number four, right?
Yep.
All right. Number four for me and all again, outside of Elvis, like, hard, like hits, I guess you could say, like Can't Help Falling in Love and whatnot, or Jailhouse Rock. One of my favorites that really gets overlooked, and I mean overlooked a lot, is a song called Fever. Fever is...
Wait,
is
that the Never Know How Much I Love You?
Yes, that one.
Know How Much I
Care. I don't know how Elvis did that song. That was originally done by Peggy Lee.
Well, he did a version of it, and it's on his Essential album, his Essential Greatest Hits from, I think, 2007. I'm looking at it right now, too. He did that song. And his version is really, it's haunting. It's very simple, but the way he sings the song, the way he projects his vocabulary, the way he sung like vowels, consonants, the way he was singing little things like that, is that's a great, if you want to learn how to sing, like just snapping vocals and a bongo, I think, and a bass guitar, that is a great song to just practice singing to if you're out there and a musician. Great song, Fever. Love Fever. That is my number four. Let's go to Allie. What do you got for your number four for Elvis Presley?
Another song that Elvis was a part of that was in a movie that he actually never performed in the movie. My number four is Viva Las Vegas.
Oh,
wow, really? Wow. Never performed it?
It was for a movie.
Yeah, he never performed it in the movie. I was just looking this up, actually.
Oh, in the Elvis movie that came out in 2022.
No, in the Viva Las Vegas movie.
Oh. I could have sworn he did it at the very end. No, am I wrong?
No.
Oh, what? Damn it. I thought I knew that.
Well, he never actually performed the song live.
Call yourself an Elvis fan.
Justin, don't you?
Which is really sad. Like, come on.
Here we go.
If you had a Vegas residency, yeah, how come you never performed Viva Las Vegas?
I mean,
yeah, that makes sense. Why don't you ever play Viva Las Vegas if you ever?
And it's been like more popular nowadays.
I mean, other bands have gone to Vegas. Like U2 was just in Vegas. Aerosmith was in Vegas. They all performed Viva Las Vegas in the residency.
And a fun fact for all those sports insanity fanatics. The Vegas Golden Knights use this for their goal.
That's funny.
For their victory theme.
That's funny. That's really
Which
funny.
I'm surprised the Raiders don't use it for their touchdown song.
Shows you the power of rock and roll.
Who knows? Maybe when the A's move to Vegas, Bill.
They'll maybe, use it as a home run song.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe they could use it as a home run song.
Yes. Damn you, John Fisher. But anyways, that's another conversation for another time. Be Las Vegas. I love that song. Great song. Great song, Allie. Great pick. Are you good with your pick there for number four?
I'm yielding.
All right. Bill Murphy.
And also one day, Vegas trip. One of these days.
We go damn right, Vegas trip.
And we live play Be Las Vegas as soon as we touch down.
Hey, oh, that's the dream right there. Bill, we're going. Front row tickets, baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. My number four. Okay, it's a little saccharine and sweet. Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Great song.
It's like a song. I know, Allie, you're not into the slow lovey-dovey stuff, but it's like one of those songs you can't hate, you know?
I would argue it's perfect.
You can't hate it. It's such a... It's just such a sweet song, and if you have a significant other out there, it's such a good song to play for them if you want to have a nice slow dance to it.
Yeah.
You could just hear the tenderness in his voice.
Yeah.
And when you play that for your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like you can't imagine life without them. And that's why I love this song so much.
That song also just passed 1 billion streams on Spotify.
Wow.
1 billion people are listening to that song. That's awesome. Just incredible. You know, needless to say.
Actually, it was just one person in Idaho who listened to it 1 billion times.
How do you know, Justin?
Yeah, Justin, maybe you are that one person.
No.
He isn't in Idaho.
But I hired him.
But I hired the band. I just streamed that one song.
Or even better. You know who's listening to the song 1 billion times? The They Collective.
The They Collective, dear God. Yep, probably.
They're behind everything.
They probably are, honestly.
But anyway.
Anyways, I love it.
It's such a nice song. It's such a lovely song.
It's a great, great, great song. Justin. Bill, do you yield?
I yield the floor.
All right, Justin Favaro Presley. What do you got for your number? What do we have to do? Four. Yes, sorry, four. I'm keeping track, I promise. He went to the bathroom? I don't even know. Let's see. He's slacking over here.
Damn it, Justin. Uh-huh. You had one job.
Quick, someone cute with people in Las Vegas.
Sorry.
Yes, I knew it. He's back. Anyways, you're number four, my friend.
My number four is actually Suspicious Minds.
Oh, great track.
So my first experience with Suspicious Minds was this video game for the PlayStation called Rocksmith. And the 2014 edition came with a DLC pack with 5 additional songs, and one of them was Suspicious Minds. That was my first time hearing the song, was learning to play the song on the guitar.
Ooh.
I can't remember how to play the song, but the song's pretty much ingrained in my brain now.
Good.
And honestly, it kind of gave me a new layer of appreciation when I saw the Elvis movie in 2022. Because I don't know, it was really well edited into the movie. If you notice the intro to the movie, like when the Warner Brothers logo is on the screen. Was it Warner Brothers?
Yes, Warner Brothers. That's the studio that did it. Yep.
Okay. So when Warner Brothers appeared on the screen, like you hear the bridge of the song, and it's just very beautiful and melodic, and it's just a beautiful song.
Yeah, it shapes really well. It is beautiful, though. I have to agree with you on that.
That's really all I had for that.
All right, bud. All right, that's your number four. Now we're up to number three. Holy cow, this is crazy. Oh, dear God. All right. So, anyways, my number three of my favorite Elvis Presley songs might come as a surprise to some people. But I have to tell you the truth. This is just, it's funny. Whenever I think of Elvis Presley, especially in the, later on in his career, like when after the 68 comeback special and stuff like that. I particularly love a track. I think it was Ali's honorable mention. It was the song called In the Ghetto. Now, mind you, he wrote probably like out of all the songs he ever recorded, he probably wrote like three or four of them. So he didn't write this. But his delivery of the story of In the Ghetto is beautiful. I love this song of his. And it's funny, Justin just brought up the Elvis movie. The Elvis movie, when the film ends, I think, you know, they don't show his death completely, but they show like the reaction to it. They show how he, they show the ending of the movie. And when the credits start rolling, the song In the Ghetto plays. And every time I've watched the movie, probably like four or five, maybe six times over the past like couple years. And that's a lot for me, truthfully. When I saw that movie come out in theaters, when I first saw it, I don't remember if I cried at all or not, but the more I listen to In the Ghetto, the more I cry. It's just a very powerful, emotional, sad story about, you know, being life in a cold, I don't forget all the words, but it's like, it's a powerful song, and it really is a fantastic song overall that Elvis delivered very well when he was alive, and the recording of it is fantastic. So my number three is Elvis Presley's In the Ghetto, a very underrated track by some standards of people overall. But yeah, Ali, let's jump over to you. What's your number three for Elvis Presley?
So my number three is probably one of the songs that made Elvis Elvis. I mean, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rest of the song, but this is what made the style of Elvis Presley. The whole like guitar and bass going, the whole like jivey dance movement. Mainly what the base of rock and roll became was from this song. I mean, and mostly, again, with all the Elvis impersonators, this is probably one of the other songs they would sing.
Yeah.
And dance to. Yep.
Yep.
Definitely one for, to dance along to. Yep. Or, and just to sing too. It's a great song to sing and dance to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't but a hound dog. Anyways.
However, don't listen to the Doja Cat version. I don't know.
Why would you bring that up?
Why would you do a version like that?
But can listen to the Big Mama Thornton version.
Yes, I have listened to that.
That was her original song.
Yes, it was.
He covered it, and yeah,
people. I'll have to listen to that. All right. But other than that, I yield.
Guess what, Ali?
We swiped right.
We swiped right.
Can I get a divorce?
Oh my lord. Oh my god.
Let's get an annulment first.
I told you to get the prenup.
Make sure to get the prenup. He denied it.
I swear.
Anyway, now my number three is also Hound Dog, and it's just such a fun song. And you know what? The summer one, is he really singing about a hound dog?
No.
No. Based on everything I know, no.
You ain't on my hound, not crying all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know what he's singing about now.
There we go.
That's better, yep.
Yeah.
I think I got it. I get
For a second there, I thought we were going to get demonetized.
We're not even monetized
to begin with. But I get it. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not even monetized to begin with, but go on.
If you know that reference, I quit, but I get it. If you get that reference, good for you.
Damn. All right. Anyways.
You win self-satisfaction and a handshake. But anyway. Now, Hound Dog is just such a fun song. And yeah. It was really one of those first time big staple Elvis songs that made you want to get up and dance. Like that is what started that Elvis sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why Hound Dog is at number three. And that's why Allie and I swiped right.
How funny is that? So who's buying dinner?
I'm ghosting you.
Oh, come on, Allie. We've known each other for 10 years.
Oh,
geez. My advice?
Are you going to get 900 miles down to where I am?
I second the Justin's idea there. Go Dutch.
We'll go Dutch, Allie. Come on. We'll go Dutch.
Not bad.
So who's paying for the plane ticket?
Oh, we'll figure that out later.
He's going to take a train down there. What are you talking about?
Plane ticket. Please. Drive.
Or just drive.
It's only 10 hours.
It'll be fine.
No, it's a long way to South Carolina.
It's 14 hours.
Yeah, I've done it. It's long.
Where are you, Charlotte?
Bucky's nearby, right by the border.
I yield.
All right. Anyways, Justin, you have the last one here for your number three. What do you got for number three?
Okay, so number three, I have, and I'm sorry, Bill, but you're wrong on this. This is the superior version. Always on my mind.
Ooh.
I respectfully disagree with you.
Well, you are respectfully wrong.
Well, you're respectfully wrong.
No fighting.
No, you.
After you.
All right, Ernie and Bert, let's keep going.
Okay.
Someone had to settle the divorce papers there.
So,
you ain't nothing but a
hound. Listen, I've heard the William Nelson version. It's fine. It's not my jam.
Okay.
There's this musicality and melancholy to the Elvis Presley version that doesn't hit me with the Willie Nelson version. And it's a version that's in pretty much every other version besides the Willie Nelson version. Even the Pet Shop Boys version, which is decidedly not melancholy. It's pretty much a dance pop. But it's just, it's such a sad song. It's a song that, I'll be honest, I'd want playing at my funeral.
Damn, I'm getting emotional here.
But I stand by what I say. It is the superior version of the song.
I respectfully disagree.
You both are entitled to your opinions. Don't worry. It's okay.
JT, who's right?
Oh, no. Don't go there.
No, JT.
I'm not getting involved.
Justin, I booked us for counseling next week. You better show up.
Therapy is only a couple $100.
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy who knows a guy's brother.
You're right.
What was that?
Stop it.
Anyway, who knows?
No, all right.
I don't think it's a good version, Justin, but I like the Willie Nelson version better.
Okay. Listen, you're entitled to your opinion.
Exactly. That's what's so great about this great land of ours.
No, this is a Super Review show. So, all right, let's jump over to number two already. Oh my lord!
Yes,
all right,
hold on. My mind.
All right, well, we're going by fast. All right, my number two. Holy moly! I can't believe I'm saying this. Actually, my number two might surprise some of you. Truthfully, like I said, I've always been a fan of like deep cut stuff. But listen, when I tell you that. He didn't. Okay, let me just say this. You want to talk about versions of songs for a second? Because he did a lot of covers. Majority of his songs are covers, but he did his covers so well, people forget that they are covers. I have to shed some light on one here, and it's called "The Unchained Melody," the Righteous Brothers version. He does a rendition of this song so well. I cried to it, and I almost want to make it my wedding song, like, one day. Like, it is so beautiful. Like,
just all right, Patrick Swayze.
All right, don't worry, ladies. I'm coming for you.
Oh my God.
So, I'm not Patrick Swayze, I swear. No. In all seriousness, though, that rendition of Unchained Melody is beautiful. If you've never heard the live rendition of him just doing the Unchained Melody from the Righteous Brothers, what are you doing with your life? Please listen to that, like, the 2 minutes and 50 seconds. You'll get back in a heartbeat. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful rendition of a beautiful song. The Righteous Brothers version is very, very good. Don't get me wrong. It's got strings and stuff, but this one has, like, just a piano piece, and it's just more of a solo piano emotional piece with some orchestration. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Now, which one is better? I love both, but I'm not sure which one is better in my opinion. Elvis did covers great because he just took the song and made it his own, but the original is still the original. You know what I mean? So I would say that I'd have to say that Elvis, I prefer the Elvis version over the Righteous Brothers version, but I love both. That's just, you're going to choose one or the other of anything, but that's my preference there. So needless to say, the Righteous Brothers cover of Unchained Melody that he did in the 70s live was molto bella, the most beautiful thing I've heard, quite possibly of all time. It's so moving and so moving, emotional. So that's my number two. Allie, what is your number two for
the King? You thought Hound Dog was iconic for Elvis. This next one's also iconic. Because what's one other song besides Hound Dog you think of when you think of Elvis?
All Shook Up.
No.
Oh, I tried.
Can't Love Hell Falling in Love with You?
No.
Blue Searchers.
Jailhouse Rock.
Oh, that's right.
Like, another iconic, like, song for Elvis that brought what rock and roll became. And I think this was part of the Jailhouse Rock. Was it called Jailhouse Rock?
The movie was called Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, that was the movie.
It's the theme song for it, yep.
Yeah. And was this the first Elvis movie he was in, or no?
No, Love Me Tender was.
Love Me Tender. It feels like every movie he's in, he sings a song based off the title.
Well, that's what they did back in the day.
That's the point.
Right.
Yeah, so.
That's how they sold the movie.
Elvis was selling the movie first.
I mean, the song has been recognized in the Grammy Hall of Fame, the American Film Institute.
Don't be cruel. Sorry.
It's also been ranked in the top 100 of the 500 greatest songs of all time.
It also has over, I'm looking at it right now, it currently has above 575 million streams on Spotify. Million.
Wow.
Half a billion people are listening to Jailhouse Rock to this day on a streaming service. Picture that, people. Crazy.
Right. And also, fun fact, some of the people who are in that he sings about in Jailhouse Rock are actually real people.
Oh, really?
Shifty Hendry was not a criminal, but a well-known Los Angeles musician. The Purple Gang was a real mob. Sad Sack was a U.S. Army nickname in World War II for a loser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in here.
Crazy. Crazy.
Did anyone else swipe right even before I yield?
No, he didn't.
No, we're good.
All right.
Bill, number two.
My number two is Burning Love.
Oh, great. Yes. Go on.
I love this song. And you just know from the opening notes, it's going to be a dang good song. It's going to be a damn good song. Feeling my temperature rising. And then, burning love. And I'm a hunk of burning love. It's just such a fun song. It's one of those songs you just want to get up and dance to, you know? And
I love it.
It's just such a good song. And like how there's other songs, how Elvis has like the emotion. Here you could feel like he's just having a good time.
Yeah. You want to know something funny about Burn Love, actually, that I found out in watching one of his documentaries?
Zero.
Yeah, the recording of that took forever to get that the way he wanted it. took like a week or two to get the one song.
Really?
That's a long time. He didn't like performing it too, apparently. So
yeah, and this was the 60s, I think, right?
70s. Yeah, Burn and Love. It was one of his last hits before he passed.
It was 72. It wasn't the last one, but it was the last, because the last song was Moody Blue. That was 77. So this was 72. What a handsome man.
He's a good look. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Great song. Love the lyrics, and I love the rhythm of it.
Awesome. You're... Wow, Justin, can you top that? Did you swipe right with Bill by saying Burning Love is your number two?
I did not.
Okay, what do you got?
My number two, as cliche as it is, and Bill, you are absolutely right on this one. It is the perfect song for your significant other. It's Can't Help Falling in Love.
Okay, so now you're trying to talk. Now you're sweet talking me after you just told me I was wrong. Okay, I get the picture.
What are you gonna do? Write a song about it?
No.
Wow, I didn't realize Taylor Swift was in house.
Ooh, throwing shade at the Swifties.
No, one of these days we'll do a top 10 Taylor Swift song.
That's gonna be
one of these days.
That's gonna be so difficult. But go on.
Okay, so Can't Help Falling in Love. It's one of the most romantic songs you can play. Like, I play the song for my significant other, and she absolutely loves it. We would dance in the kitchen, her head against my chest, and we would just slow dance and sway. And it's so nice. It's moments like that where all the problems that you have just don't matter. And that is the magic of the song.
I can see that.
The power of music, my friend. The power of music.
The power of
music. The power within?
No, no, power no, not
power of love.
That's a curious thing. Anyways, I digress. Is that what was now? We're up to number one. Oh my god, what's going on?
Wow,
we're up to number one.
Oh, I wonder.
So he was number one.
He was number one. We love SpongeBob here. This is a review show. No, needless to say, though. All right, so here's the deal. Man, making this list for me was very difficult. I don't know about you guys, but I have to just tell you the truth here, honestly. I'm going to be straight up with all of you. There's a very... my number one Elvis Presley song. It might change in like a year's time, but as of right now, it fits my current life viewpoint. Because when you turn to music in your life and you try to do something, if you try to see things in a certain light, if you turn to music to help your life out, you turn to songs and different artists for different reasons. My number one Elvis Presley song is the last song he played on his 1968 comeback special album. And it's a song called If I Can Dream.
Oh, JT. Yeah.
No, JT. No, we didn't, Justin.
We just swiped right.
Oh, damn it. Anyways, all right.
All right, I'll get the lawyer.
I'm getting a prenup. No, but in all seriousness, this song, If I Can Dream, I'm not going to get political. I refuse to get political on my content and my show and with my friends here. But I will say, if you listen to the song in the 2020s, this song came out in 1968. Now, you want to complain about stuff today in the world, you should talk to someone who lived through the year 1968. It was a dark, 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 dark time for American history and the world, too, with, you know, Vietnam War.
Permission to put on my history nerd hat and give the quick spark notes of why 1968 was a shithole year.
We did it once before. Can I finish really quick? Is that okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Without getting super, super technical and political and whatever, but it was just a, I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, but if you want to go look up the year 1968 in your history books, do it. It was a crazy time. Bill can chime in a second on that, but basically this song came out in a year where there was little to no hope for the future, and now here we are almost more than 50 years, 60 years later from that song. And yeah, there'll be problems here and there in the world, but you have to look towards the a brighter future. And if you've never heard the song If I Can Dream by Elvis Presley, it really epitomizes how there is a future. There is a hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. If you're having a hard time this winter, if you're having a hard time in general, listen to If I Can Dream by Elvis Presley. It is the song that gives generational people hope. When they feel like they're hopeless, this is hope. I'm here to tell you that there is hope for you by listening to this song. It might sound cheesy, it might sound corny, but if you really break it down, Elvis delivers on a multitude of levels, emotionally, spiritually. Our heartfelt feelings are all in this one song. So my number one Elvis Presley song is If I Can Dream from the 68 Comeback Special. I digress. I yield. Sorry. Anyways.
I'm forwarding it to Justin because he swiped right with you.
Is that okay? We do that, guys?
Go right ahead.
All right, Justin, go ahead. Yeah, since Justin and I swiped that as our number one.
Yeah. This is such an amazing song. It's a song that really changed Elvis's perspective of what he can do with his sound. Because when he heard a demo of the song, he actually said, I'm never going to do a song I don't believe in ever again. I'm never going to do a film I don't believe in ever again. Like, the production value on this is something we hadn't heard from Elvis at the time. Now, you can attribute that to a new songwriter, someone he hasn't really worked with before. And it's just, it is a song about hope, a song of wishing for a better tomorrow. And it's powerful. I listened to this like an hour before we started filming, and it still hit me as much as it did when I first heard it. And I first heard it in the Elvis movie.
Oh, wow.
This is a fresh song for me.
Wow.
And wow. And it just shot its way up right to the top. Like that final howl when he's right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Chills. Like exactly, chills.
Because if I can chime in, the song is not on my list. But no, this was during a time. This was recorded like right after the, because 1968, you had Vietnam War was unwinnable. You had the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. I want to say this was right after the RFK assassination.
Not to mention Nixon just got elected president.
Well, that was months later, but.
Wait, was it?
Yeah, no, because I just looked it up. This was recorded in June of 1968, which was a couple weeks after the Kennedy assassination.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that was in the Elvis movie when they were recording it. Remember when they found it and Colonel Parker is saying, like, we don't get into politics. You come on, you sing Here Comes Santa Claus, we say Merry Christmas, and we say goodnight.
Yeah.
Because Elvis was actually a big fan of Martin Luther King.
Yes. Yes, I read that.
And when he was assassinated, he was terrified because people was like, oh no, they're gonna have the worst. They're gonna have the all the negative implications of Southern people.
Yeah,
that everyone in the South is racist.
Yeah, let's not forget Elvis Presley was born in Toledo, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So,
because Elvis was really Elvis accepted a lot of his mute. A lot of his influence was from the black community.
A lot, mm-hmm. if not all.
And that was a lot of rock and roll at the time. A lot of it came from African-American music.
It started on the plantations. Literally, rock and roll has birth in the black culture of America. Whether people like it or not, it's the truth.
Yeah.
So, there's your history lesson for the night.
Can I give you my number one?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Okay, I gotta give the stereotypical one. I'm sorry. Water through a body in a county jail. Prison band was there and began to wail. My number one is Jailhouse Rock.
Great song. Can't deny it.
The song, again, is just Elvis. It's just such a dancing song. And I didn't know all those facts, Allie. Thank you very much. And also, I think this is the song that solidified the Elvis Presley sound.
Yes.
Agree, disagree. I'm a genius. I'm a total moron. Please tell me.
I agree.
But I would swear you, but we're live.
This was the song that solidified the Elvis sound. Because I think this is like one of the songs when you think of Elvis Presley, this is in the top five. And it's just such a, I love this song so much. Has all the Elvis Presley trademarks on it. And you know what also is a good version? The end credit version of from Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Mm.
And they just have like different people sing it. And then they have the casting crew and they go, everybody in the wholesale block, we're dancing to the Jailhouse Rock. Just what a song. This really is what Elvis Presley is. Jailhouse Rock is that.
All right. Allie, what is your...
Close us out.
Number one, what do you got?
So for me, it's Elvis's final top 10 song back in 1972. It's Burning Love. I feel like you always save the best for last. This was it. This was probably the final evolution of Elvis right here. That song, it just pretty much brings everything that is Elvis together into a more modern like era back in the 70s, because he was doing this what almost 20 like close to 20 years before his death. I forgot when he started. Was it 55-ish?
56.
So it would be like 16
21 years.
21 years he was doing it.
Like, this song pretty much accumulates what Elvis is from the basis of, you know, the music, the guitar bass stuff from Hound Dog, Jailhouse Rock to his vocals. Like, this just sums it all up. And I think I had some fun facts about this. I think it has so many covers. It's probably one of the most played songs in, like, TV. It did peak at number 2 in the charts.
Mm-hmm. On the Hot 100.
The top 100. This was used in the Cirque du Soleil. If you ever go to Disney's California Adventure and go on the Guardians ride, this is one of 6 songs you could get.
Hmm. Nice.
The one that replaced the Tower of Terror. Conan O'Brien used it to warm it up, warm his audience up.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Well, this has been fun, needless to say.
Yes, it was.
This was happy. I mean, he's obviously dead, but happy 90th birthday to the almighty, everlasting, eternal ass-kicking power of Elvis Presley. And if you don't understand him as a if you don't even like him, you might. I mean, that's okay. All art is subjective. But I will say though that this is, if you haven't dove into his catalog, just find a greatest hits on Spotify and plow through like the set. The 2007 Essential Elvis Presley collection is a good way to start. But also, he has the 30 number one hits box set from 2022 that came out, I think, recently, too, that they put out or whatever RCA did. Yeah. So, in the wise words of Bill's favorite band, Imagine Dragons, I don't think there's nothing left to say now, right, bud?
There's nothing left to say now.
Yeah. So, we want to thank you for watching, listening, however you enjoyed us. And thanks so much for tuning to our podcast, as always. Don't forget to follow us, all of us, on our social media pages as well. Simply have the Superview Show on Instagram and Facebook. Bill, you have something with sports. I forget what it is.
Yes. Check out the Sports Insanity podcast on the Sports Insanity Network. We got the NFL playoffs starting this weekend. We're going to have coverage of that. And plus,
the Irish.
Go Notre Dame. Go beat Penn State.
Of course.
We got college football playoffs. We got Notre Dame tomorrow night. We got Ohio State and Texas on Friday. Let's go. Please check us out. Sports Insanity Podcast on the Sports Insanity Network.
Yes. And you can find Justin supporting all of us here by pushing or doing a social media push. I'm just kidding. It's okay. And Allie is doing her best as well. Thanks so much. Allie has been MIA for a little bit because she's been busy with work.
Probably be MIA again sometime soon.
Yes, but don't worry. And you could just follow us on our social media platform simply at the Superview Show on Instagram and Facebook, as it says there. But thanks so much for watching and listening to our podcast. For all of us here at the Superview Show, happy birthday, Elvis Presley. Stay safe.
Take care.
And
thank you very much.
Be awesome.
I'll talk
about it.